Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. James couldn't be with us tonight. He's doing the Prophets Conference over in Palm Springs with a bunch of interesting different researchers and presenters. We've got Daniel Pinchbeck, Alberto Velodo, Little Grandmother, amongst others. So we're sending our love to James and everybody else who's over at the Prophets Conference right now. And my name's Nate. I work here at the ranch, and I have my lovely partner, Miss Jana, with us as well.
Hi, everybody.
And tonight we have our friends, the Mapmakers, with us, and they've been doing some really interesting work. Jana's going to tell you a little bit about the Mapmakers.
So the Mapmakers are Amy Slaughterback and Mike Dickinson. They call themselves the Mapmakers. They're Earth travelers on a mission to document the internal and external processes of surveying new landscapes. Choosing wildly unconventional routes, Amy and Mike document a reality full of evolutionary individuals and progressive collectives. As mapmakers, they study the relationship between representation, imagination, and the nature of reality itself. Through film, writing, and photography, they invite audiences to take charge of mapping out their own reality. So we met Amy and Mike as visitors to the ranch a few months back, and they are Earth travelers. They've been to several different locations and been making some fairly succinct documentaries, especially in Ethiopia and Colombia. And really, we just started to get to know them. And they came to Yosetti and they started to volunteer with the spirit of service to make a little film about what we're doing here. And I guess without further ado, if we could just get Amy and Mike to kind of introduce themselves.
Thank you, Jana.
Hey, guys. Nice to be on.
Hey. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, it's wonderful. This is a really great opportunity to get out and kind of talk about some of the work that we've been doing at the ranch. As you just alluded to, Jana, we've been filming out at the ranch. We've done a couple of really short films way back in the beginning. I guess that was about a year and a half ago now. Just exploring what in the world eSETI is, and it's been quite a trip. We're now working on a full-length documentary. It'll be about an hour and a half long, and it's going to cover what is eSETI and the amazing experiences that take place out here.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're actually rendering the complete version as we speak right now and giving a final preview to the crew here tomorrow, so we're really excited about that, and just watching the whole process of this documentary unfold, I mean, it's really taking a life of its own right now. Mm-hmm. Just pretty amazing to see, like, the whole spirit of eSETI come through this film is rewarding for all of us, I think.
Yeah, it's really crazy to think of it that way, but when we initially came out to the ranch, we had no idea why we were even filming. We had just kind of come across the UFO phenomena itself. We, in our minds, we were like, oh my gosh, this is going to change the world. You know, it's happening. Sightings are happening all over the place. And so let's get out to Trout Lake, where they say they happen all the time, and film this thing because it's going to be monumental. And we just showed up with a camera, and it's been a pretty amazing experience from there. Made those couple short films, and then from there we just decided that a full-length documentary was a must-do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so where did you guys even first hear about the ranch before you guys decided to come out?
Well, I actually heard about it through Amy, because this was happening in 2009 when there was that just massive wave of UFO sightings all over the world, And so this, for me, was something pretty amazing. It was kind of breaking the concept of my own reality. And Amy said had been talking about it every so often about this place in Washington called Yseti. And, you know, it was supposedly almost guaranteed a sighting is what the claims were. And so this spur of events, you know, this continuous events all over the world spurred us on to go to Yseti. As she said, let's go out and check it out. And I was, like, pretty prompted to do so as well.
Yeah, I mean, I had experiences as a kid, but I guess you just kind of dismiss those things and move on. And as I got older, I always thought they existed, you know, like I know that they're there, but I hadn't seen any myself. And so I don't know what it was, but I was like, if UFOs exist and I'm not just going crazy, I will see one at Yseti. And so sure enough, we came out here and the first night we see a huge ship. It was nuts. But really, I think the point to point out here is that we really, all we thought about this place was that this is where people come to see UFOs. Like, we really had no idea that our path was so in line with what truly is the mission out here at Yseti, which is to help people with the healing and opening of different parts of themselves in that inward journey. Which was something that we were kind of coming across ourselves, but we had no idea this prompting was going to intersect that road in the way that it did and open that up for us.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the ranch functions as a lot of different things, I think, to a lot of different people. But yeah, as you guys are pointing out, it's probably most well known as a place people could come and do some sky watching. You know, we've been covered on the news a lot of times for the UFO stuff. Or another way of putting it is, you know, people come here to have their own experience with their own multidimensional nature or the multidimensional nature of reality. And so, you know, it's a safe place for a lot of people to facilitate that sort of growth or some sort of healing. You know, have you guys noticed this to be the case for yourselves in your own experience here as some sort of activation or healing or expansion, basically, in your view of reality?
Well, it definitely blew the lid off of some ideas of really what our reality is. You know, we come out here the first night and we're just hanging out on the starfield and just James comes up and starts talking to us. And then, you know, you see a few kind of strange lights in the sky and you go, okay, that was interesting. And then James will just drop something like, yeah, that happens to be the entrance to the Crystal City. And you kind of take that in stride, but as you start seeing more lights in the sky and some of this phenomenon that is so casually dropped in conversation around the ranches, you start to see evidence of that, you begin to question, well, maybe you haven't been getting the full story. And that, for me, was the most impactful thing about Yseti. Was when I left the first time, you know, it took me a good solid 7 days to reintegrate a new framework of how I fit into this much bigger scheme of things than I previously thought existed.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that entirely. And as you said, Nate, it does open up, you know, this opportunity for you to heal parts of yourself. And believe me, I had no clue that was what was in store for me when I came out here. I mean, not to say that we weren't already, you know, you say on the path, but you thought you were on a path at least. You know, it's not like we were new to quantum physics or any of those concepts or ideas. But I just had no idea it intersected with this phenomena in this way, where you come out here and you start having these experiences and they're so tangible and real that you're just, you cannot deny it anymore. And it just, it's like it completely tears down your reality and then you've kind of got to rebuild after that. And I don't care how much prep work you've done until you've actually had some of these experiences, it's not quite the same breakdown.
Yeah, I think that one of the very interesting things about Yseti is the caliber of people that show up here. You know, when before I came, I kind of had this preconceived idea that it's a subculture and that there's going to be some pretty eccentric people, which, is to some extent very true. But like ourselves, a lot of the people that come to the ranch are very much in alignment with coming to a new awareness of the underlying truth of reality that's taking place. And it's incredible how it unfolds for so many people in such a variety of ways that is pretty astounding to watch. And this is some of the the concepts that we were filming here for the documentary.
Yeah, it's been amazing to just see how many, people get drawn here of all different walks of life, and just the integrity of so many of the individuals that come into this ranch. And you just, you feel just like you're living in a gigantic synchronicity when you're here. It's just like pretty amazing. But it has a lot of lessons wrapped up in it. And I think that's one of the things Mike just said it draws a very wonderful group of people, but it also attracts, energy that you may not realize that you're burying deep down within you, and it comes up, and it's a challenge, but you showed up for a challenge on some level. It's like, this is your lesson, and it's a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, that's totally a phenomenon here, and we experience that a lot. I mean, I consider you guys, really beautiful seeker type of people, and that a lot of brave mystics do come up this driveway, but also that I've experienced the magnetic anomaly that is the vortex or the energy spring that is also at the bases of lots of other mountains all over the planet, and that it does, the energy here is very high, and that's something that we like to maintain through different practices and self-awareness, self-responsibility, is that it can bring all your stuff up, like, really quickly. And that is always the occasion to heal. I think the one question I wanted to ask you guys was really about, well, I'm an artist myself, and experiencing those processes of putting, like, the pieces of the puzzle together, that as a seeker, you're, and traveling the world, also, is that you're going out and you're putting together these sort of like external packets of understanding about the world around you, and that since coming to be SETI, I'm wondering, because I know that it could have charged within you this sort of more internal process that's going on, and I'm wondering if you feel that that's impacted your creative process, or how the regathering and the regrouping of these ideas and putting the pieces of the puzzle together, if it's impacted your creative process.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's a part of me that wants to be like, oh, no, before this I was on an internal journey, and, I understood that it was more, it was more out there. It was something that you said you were doing, but you really didn't, it wasn't as tangible. Because as a traveler, I think a big part of traveling is the internal journey, is the challenge of what you're going through, but sometimes when you're traveling, you don't have those quiet moments to really, really sit in peace and be like, wow, I'm traveling within who I am, I'm transforming who I am, and I'm changing. It's something that occurs when you travel, but I don't know if it's right at the forefront of your consciousness as you're going through that process. But that's what eSETI really has been for me, is it's this process of going inside and really tuning into who you are and why you're here, and getting just this confirmation that you're just a small piece in this much bigger symphony that's taking place across our entire galaxy. It's huge, and it's been a really beautiful thing. And I know with our filming out here, even the first time we came out, we really didn't know why we had the camera with us. We had an inkling there was going to be something worth filming, but we really didn't know why we brought it. Mm-hmm. And it's been the same thing with the story. But we don't know. We had no idea what we were going to film even for the full-length documentary. It's been one of those things where it seriously just flows, and it's very intuitive, and it just comes together.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to what Amy was saying about not really knowing why we were here or why we were filming the first time we came, we left with maybe an hour's worth of footage, and it took 3 days to make a 15-minute video, which would normally take us a couple weeks. It was pretty outstanding to look back on that and go, wow, like, that happened so easily, so seamlessly, and it didn't really feel like we were doing anything. It just, this kind of fountain of creativity started coming out from us, probably because, you know, a lot of the untapped inner blocks that we've been harboring for a while, it's the energy here at Eseti and this vortex that really just, like, pulls it right out of you, and with that comes a lot of great benefit of reestablishing more of your true character and who you really are.
Yeah, absolutely. The creative process has been a really beautiful thing. I mean, it's certainly a roller coaster ride. As far as the pendulum swings into the darkness, it swings right back into the light. And I feel like there's times here, you know, it's all fun and games when you show up and you're here for like 3 or 4 days, and you know, you're just kind of floating on this cloud of bliss, pretty much. But I mean, you start to stay here a little bit longer, and you realize that it's got to be a balance. And for me, that's personally been, you know, a little bit of those downtimes where you really travel deep within yourself, and you have to face parts of yourself that, you know, and the reward is great, but at the same time, you know, you can't go without noting that little detail, you know?
Absolutely. I think, too, I mean, just offering the opportunity to heal all your past stuff. I mean, those are sessions that James offers, that he works here. They're very graceful, very effective. I know you guys participated in that process as well. But I guess just the heart of what I want to mention is that when you really get down into the clarity of your own being, this is what activates you to move forward with, to be active in the world, to completely harness the energy that's coming right now. I mean, we seek to inspire, and you're helping us bridge that gap through, again, this, you know, service-based, not ideology, but way of helping us deliver this, you know, through the internet, through this medium, because I think a lot of people are really curious about what's going on here, and it's just it's an amazing gift that you're giving to us as well.
Or it's an exchange too, though. I would
Absolutely.
Point out is, you know, there's an exchange of energy, there's an exchange of time, and there's a cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, and I think that's one of the most beautiful things that we're all building together. Is we're a great example of how we didn't need a currency in between us in order to get this work done.
Indeed.
It was something that we were all pulled together, and, you know, I don't even know that we really had very formal conversations regarding, okay, we'll be exchanging this for this, this for this. But it was just very fluid and natural.
Organic.
And I think that's a lot of what we're coming to experience in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, let me reassure you guys that the places that we've been to, you know, we are but one example of so many individuals out there who are just kind of like really grabbing this energy and just running with it and finding that there are so many mediums of exchange that don't involve currency, that involve like really fantastic positive energy. And it's just having crazy, crazy ripples out into the universe. And as you watch that, I mean, it's really tangible to feel the sensations and gratitude of people on both ends of that exchange and the people who are indirectly influenced by that. And, you know, it is a unity wave of consciousness that is coming through, and these coming times are really, really, really exciting.
Yeah, we're just trying to help usher it in, you know, gracefully and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what you said a little while ago really hit on it, Jenna, because you said it's about taking the action, you know, and you may not know. I think the first key is realizing that you have worth in this world and waking up to that and knowing that you have something that you can offer. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you can just show up on anybody's doorstep with your offer. And but it certainly is a starting point if you feel like you've got something of value to offer to others. And I never knew that, like, making films that we would ever be of value to anybody,
totally.
You know. But yeah. As it turns out,
you're so driven to do it. And, so, you know, it only took one person to go, huh, that's interesting. Maybe here's the next breadcrumb, and before you know it, you're actually doing something that you like, and wow, it's actually inspiring people who, you know, in turn do things that they like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, I mean, the work that you guys do in helping heal others and help usher in that process is huge right now. I know that I showed up not knowing it, but I needed healing. I needed to be in this space. I needed to be around these people and go through some of that processing. And so that's what I feel like I've gained from this experience tenfold.
One of the key words or the reoccurring words in the documentary seem to be ripple. A lot of the people who have come to the ranch are pretty impacted by the teachings, by, you know, the phenomena, and by their own inner guidance. And it just goes out into the community, and you can feel that. You can see it. And it's, you know, we observe that through every single person. Like, that's the truth. Every person that we met here at Iseti is, you know, they got to bring someone back because this stuff just... It didn't, you know,
it's too amazing. It's too good to be true.
Yeah. I mean, we get all kinds of people that come up here, too. And it was great that you had an introduction through, you know, the Qigong, the spontaneous Qigong classes, because you had a bunch of people that wanted to heal, you know, and they are totally open. And you will walk away from here with as much as you're open to receive as well. Because we do get the, you know, some of the real nasty guys that want to come up here and just debunk us, and you know, they don't really thrive on this energy. It, you know, there are disruptive energies that come up here, but I think more than anything, that the kind of people that come up here are open to it, and they're ready to surrender to that. You know, and it's really a process here that we're just facilitating. It's a lot about self-responsibility, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a theme that we see over and over again. We've experienced it ourselves and see it with a ton of the guests, that there's an activation mm-hmm. that takes place. You know, I know, you know, whatever, a couple years ago, the first time I came up here, you know, and I've experienced a number of different enlightening or activating sort of experiences in my life, but this was the next one that helped bring me to the next level. I remember going back after coming to the conference in 2009, going back home and just, like, totally, you know, flying high off of it. And it really took that energy, and it facilitated me doing a ton of positive things with my life. You know, and I think you guys have talked to a number of different people on film or whatever that were guests that, you know, basically were kind of experiencing something of that nature, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you say activation, and it's so crazy because, you know, there's people who actually work really hard at creating the activation experience. You know, they want the room with all the crystals in it and the lights and all the magic to happen, you know. But this place, I came out thinking that I was just going to go to a ranch with a guy who sees UFOs in the sky, and there might be some people there that were going to debunk it. I had no idea that I was going to get activated by simply stepping onto the land and walking out into
having
that.
Having an open mind.
Yeah.
You know, that was the activation, I think, and everything else facilitated that activation.
Oh, totally. We're just, I think, too, I mean, with the work here, it's like we're trying to show that crystal ballroom is inside of you, too. And it again, it's just a lot about the reawakening of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we did have a transpersonal release session with James, and I had no idea that that was even something that was offered out here. Like, it was at the very back of my mind. I had no idea I was going to be involved in an experience like that mm-hmm. that was really quite simple and short for Mike and I, which I've heard it's not the same for everybody else, of course.
Right.
But yet it was profound. Like, there was nothing fancy about it, yet I walked away feeling like something was totally lifted from me. I was flying high for at least 7 days afterwards, you know, like it totally transformed my life. And I just remember sitting out in the vortex and just like crying and feeling so like I had traveled so far to come to this place and sit in this moment and have this time for myself. And it's really quite amazing. And I think that that's really what we wanted to communicate in this documentary is tell that story, because it's not just us, it's so many other people that have had beautiful, beautiful experiences out here, and I just think that's the true phenomena, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people that are coming out here that are having memories of other times, other lives, you know, and that a lot of people are coming up here have that sort of renaissance energy. I mean, they're ready to turn it over. And I think there's all, I really see a lot of people when they come up the driveway, it's like I see the higher aspect of themselves and the unconscious part of themselves that really pulled them here. And a lot of these people, as we all do, they have very strong star lineage through their soul. And that's a big aspect of the remembrance. And that, you know, activating that does create all these little beacons all over the planet and facilitates further healing when they leave. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And learning those things about myself was just like a huge piece of the puzzle that was missing for a long, long time. And it explained a lot and helped me to come to terms with, you know, experiences I had even had in this life where I was left feeling lost.
Yeah.
And then you forget about it or you stuff it away mm-hmm. because it just didn't make sense, because everything in society says that shouldn't make sense.
Right.
And yet you're drawn to do certain types of work. You're drawn to feel certain ways, you know, like I could never go back to working in corporate America, you know, like just the idea of it, you know, makes me want to come to tears. And it's because you feel like you're here for some real reason. Like it's big, you know, you're here for a reason. And just learning the star lineage apart for me personally opened up a whole new aspect of my multidimensional self.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're open to that, yeah, I think this is what, for myself, you know, the younger version of myself and a lot of other people who are now find themselves that way, is that, you know, this kind of has a lot of hokey context to it for a lot of people. Like, you know, well, you've opened yourself up to your multidimensional self, but, you know, can you still drive a car, or, you know, can you exist in this 3D world? Well, the crazy thing is when you open yourself to it and you allow this new kind of mentality, this new perception of reality to take place, and then you just let go, wow, this synchronicity that flood through your life is just unbelievable. And you go, oh, damn, like, I really do have a purpose. You know, I'm being guided here, and all I have to do is just be present, show up, and, you know, allow myself to guide myself.
mm-hmm. That's the greatest intelligence.
Yeah.
It's the heart.
Yeah, certainly, you know, and when you start getting those synchronicities just happening, you know, at an accelerated rate, you know, at least it's evidence that, okay, I must be on the right track. I must be doing something right here, at least.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing to realize about all this is that E-Study was the right place for me to come, but these places exist all over the world, you know?
There's absolutely.
All kinds of opportunities for you to have these remembrance awakening experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, no, you know, we kind of mentioned some of the other films that you had done with some of your other traveling, and you guys have basically, you know, been visiting and kind of hanging out and sharing with a number of different communities or like-minded groups of people that are teaming up, you know, collectively working on, you know, becoming more sovereign or becoming empowered or being self-sufficient, implementing that into their lives. So, you know, have you guys noticed common themes that have helped people be successful in these sorts of endeavors? Or, you know, on the contrary, also, have you noticed things amongst people that were not working, or anything that you know that you'd want to talk about that you've implemented into your own personal lives through these experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess one of the common themes that comes to my mind right off that is the lack of stuff. You know, these communities don't have a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of things or attachments or luxuries in life. I suppose you totally redefine what is your idea of what you need in life and what is wealth. And we've stayed with several communities where, you know, there's not running or there's no electricity coming to your house, or you've got a wood stove, you go to the bathroom on compost toilets, you know, like it's not like a real luxurious way of life. And when you tell people that, they kind of like raise an eyebrow, like, you know, what are you doing going out into the bush? But there's so much that's gained by just moving away, starting anew, and realizing that you don't need all this stuff in your life.
Yeah, I think going to your question of like what was the formula that worked, the biggest one that we saw was hard work was the number one ingredient. And most surprisingly, you know, because we were doing a lot of work trades at the sustainable communities that we were doing, you know, and so we'd be out digging ditches or pulling blackberries or whatever it may be. And after 8 hours of, you know, pretty grueling labor, you look at the work that you've accomplished and you go, wow, I did that. What else can I do tomorrow?
Yeah.
So, holy cow, you know, this opens up a whole new sense of self-empowerment, mm-hmm. of satisfaction with what you're doing, and of, you know, the realization that you are a competent being. No one, you just never were given the opportunity to prove that yourself. You know, in society these days, we have a lot of things do life for us.
Indeed.
And so this concept of going out into the, quote, bush and reliving like, you know, the homesteaders did, this seems like a pretty far-fetched idea these days when, in actuality, like, the crazy thing is being more, you know, embedded in this technological matrix that doesn't allow us to experiment and to find out who we really are. It does it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like it comes full circle again. You know, you're separated from the very processes that keep you alive. You don't know where your food comes from. You don't know, you know, how electricity gets to you. What is power and how is it stored and make all of your electronics work? You know, and we're refamiliarizing ourselves with these concepts and realizing we are in this web of life and it's all connected. You can't just take isolated bits and pieces and try to create a reality out of it. Eventually it'll fall apart.
Yeah, you need all the puzzles to make a picture.
Yeah, I mean, the intelligence of nature in itself is such a joy to work directly with. I mean, I talk about that a lot, about, you know, when did the rift happen where we thought we were separate from nature or the planet, and that really at a fundamental level, we feel that that's so important to reconnect with the Earth. And I think one of the greatest things I heard from my teacher, he said, you know, when was the last time you trusted yourself when it came to gardening or really simple things that have to do with the Earth? I think that all of it is in our cellular memory. And it's just so beautiful to see, you know, young, passionate people and also all ages just trusting themselves in doing this stuff. And I, you know, that's what I really see in you guys. And it's validation, you know, the validation never gets old. Especially here for a lot of people that come up here, the validation and knowing, you know, they just want to be reminded of what they already know. You know, so it's kind of like a little cosmic kick in the butt, if you could call it that. But yeah, it's a beautiful image to think about reconnecting with nature, but not just the image, the actual action and the labor. And then when it turns around and the intelligence returns to you, is that's, you know, there's a joy that comes from that, and then it doesn't really feel like work anymore, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, you immediately go into what is truly service mode. It's a different game when you're doing something just out of because you want to, because you realize that's why you came to Earth. That's what you're doing here, is that you want to provide something, you want to give back, you want to create. And it's really cool to become confident again. I like what you're saying about trusting yourself, because it's really easy to intimidate yourself into believing that you're not worthy of having experiences with nature. That, you know, I grew up in a city, or I didn't have a mom that took me hiking, or whatever it is. You want to intimidate yourself into believing that nature is something that's got to be separate from yourself. And when you really just go back out and get your hands in the dirt and realize that it's intuitive and that you know it, it's really an amazing connection that's made. And I think that's part of what's, you know, inspiring us to continue forward and doing our work. And after we finish this documentary, we're basically going to put all of our resources and energy towards trying to expand education right now and trying to educate our young people and people of older ages that want to learn again, you know, anyone who's open to that, because I think that's what this planet really needs right now is a bunch of teachers and a bunch of students and people who are interested in swapping positions, you know, and being
yeah.
like...
Yeah, I really feel like that. We all have to cross-train each other and multitask and learn to be elegant and go with the flow the whole time, you know, because that's what nature does. And she does a pretty good job at it.
Yeah, you know, and there's a time for both. There's a time to be, wear the teacher hat. There's a time to wear the student hat, you know. And I think that if you really look at, like, you know, elderly people that are vibrant, you know, that age well, a really common characteristic of those people is people that still keep learning, that
yeah,
still
absolutely.
Keep challenging themselves,
yep.
that still keep active. Those are the sort of people, you know, that look really good, and they tell you how old you are, and you can't believe, like, what? Seriously?
Oh, yeah, everyone thinks I'm 12.
You're not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the neurological neighborhood. And, you know, there's practices here that we do, I mean, just around the field of dreams. And, I mean, there's lots of different places that reaffirm that about getting up and building new pathways in your brain and creating your reality, like, right there in the spot. I know that there's people that meditate here and do open-eyed meditation and that. I mean, the veil... It's thinner here, but you can literally see the grid of perhaps the hologram that we're in. But it's exciting.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we're definitely taking away from this experience so many lessons that we've learned from just being in this space and being able to share with you guys, as well as being able to have the space to explore ourselves within this. I mean, the energy here is just incredible. And the way that it can transform you, and I think we're taking those lessons forward, and we want to spread them. It's just like so many guests who come to this ranch and say, you know, this is just rippling outwards. It's exponential in its growth.
Well, a lot of the, you know, what James continually says, and not just James, but everyone who teaches here, these teachings are universal, and that is something that's very appealing for a lot of the people that come here. Is it's not one guru or one god or whatever it may be, it's the whole host. It's all ingredients. It's everything. And you're just picking and choosing for what resonates most with you. And a lot of the teachings that happen here are things that we can take, along with everyone who visits this ranch, can take with them and bring those back to their community and plant those seeds there.
Yeah, and it's not like you're coming back with these ideas. I know it sounds like, oh, you're... you know, going to go around door to door and knock on doors or something.
I mean, some days I feel like I'm ready to do that.
But it's amazing. It really and truly is just the way you are afterwards. It's the way you, it's this energy you carry with you. It doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. You certainly it can foster it. It can grow. It can also dwindle at times when you choose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about this experience of being here that it's transformative.
Mm-hmm. As you know, as we change ourselves internally, that's reflected in our reality externally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would agree completely, and that's what, you know, is very nice about this place is, as Amy was mentioning earlier, you have certainly both ends of the spectrum of, you know, it's bringing up the dark and it's bringing up the light, but as you kind of do that house cleaning and you clear up all that stuff, then you realize that suddenly your external world is much more tidy, you know? The synchronicities are coming much more obviously. The people that you're interacting with are much more on your level instead of this up, down, left, right of the spectrum. You leave a place like this much more balanced. At least I know I did when I left and as I continue to visit each time.
Oh, yeah, I like that concept because it is a balance. There's a lot of beauty in finding that balance and then carrying it out into your life and realizing that it's not, it doesn't have to be this roller coaster ride all the time. Sometimes it might be, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and ultimately, all of this stuff, our own spiritual journey, you know, we all have to take that as an individual. And, you know, create our own relationship with source of the universe, or however you want to term it. You know, back in the day, the ranch used to be known as the Self-Mastery Institute. You know, most people know us by Ysetti nowadays, but I think that the spirit of that is still really rings true. You know, James says this all the time. You know, we say this to guests all the time, that, you know, ultimately we encourage them to become their own self-masters. And, you know, there's certainly, there's tools that are here that are shared, or, you know, we might talk about with people or whatever to arm them, to make their own. But ultimately, you know, we all have to take this and go out and be able to apply it to our own lives. No one else is going to do that for you, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's what's really powerful about it all, is that it's all about you. It's about how far you want to go. You know, there's no one here pushing you to do anything. If you want to just, you know, come and stay for a night and camp and then and see if you can see any ships, then that's fine. But there is something so much bigger going on here that I really think can't go unnoted. You know, there's an amazing energy, and there's a lot of incredible teachings that come out of this place. Mm-hmm. And just those tools, you know, it's like you can pick and choose what works for you and go from there. But they've been really monumental in my own personal development and my personal life. And so it's been a great gift.
Mm-hmm. Well, the classes that happen here is just a reflection of everything else, I think. You know, there's a resounding theme of self-empowerment here. You know, the individuals that live at the ranch call themselves self-governing, you know, where everyone who comes here learns that, wow, I have so much more authority to live the life that I want to live. And, you know, people listening at home, guess what? You are an incredibly powerful, responsible individual, you know, and that's what's so beautiful about this awakening that's happening, is there's not going to be a leader, there's not going to be a new leader to take over. We're all going to become those leaders, you know.
Right. Yeah, okay, so this is kind of a good part to segue into, you know, a slightly different topic, but it's also the same. You know, we were sitting around having dinner tonight, Jenna made a really nice spicy curry, and we were kind of talking about some of the things we might want to go over, and we, you know, we're talking about how we wanted to maybe cover on some of the current events. You know, we look at what's going on, this growing trend of uprising or protest, you know, in Egypt and in Libya, and, you know, all, it's spreading all over the place. So, you know, that we look at Egypt. Now, certainly this is a big point on the world grid. We got the Great Pyramids there. You know, it seems that, you know, at the highest levels of the control system, people are aware of the energetic dynamics of mm-hmm. that portion of the planet and would want to keep that place controlled. You know, a lot of people have been looking to what's been going on in Egypt and being very inspired, and saying, yeah, you know, the revolution is happening. Other people would say, really, there's no revolution occurring here. We're just swapping out one pawn for another. But we're definitely seeing a growing trend of people standing up. It seems like there is the real energy of people, you know, feeling and wanting to take their power back. So, you know, let's just talk about that. What's your guys' perspective on what is going on the planet right now?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if we can cover that very quickly. But
yeah, no, we're winding down, but, you know, quickly.
But when it comes to Egypt, it's really fascinating, because you do see, like, these, on the government level, it's like there's these power swaps that are constantly taking place, and it's happening all over the world. But yet you have this very separate faction of people, the actual citizens of these countries, who seem to be being drawn together by completely different motivations. And when you know, this is where we talk a lot about, like, discernment and being able to tell the difference between what the mass media is feeding you and what's actually going on the ground level. I love that, you know, Tellinger says the history's been written by the victors, you know, and totally true.
Yeah.
So when you're watching the mass media, we're getting, like, this huge power swap, you know, propaganda thing going on, but I still think you can't deny the number of people that are just being drawn together because they know that it's time to start standing up for themselves. and that we don't need to be divided as citizens against one another. I know in America there's already starting to be a huge faction created between the unions and then like the Tea Party, so that we have all this civil dispute going on amongst one another that, oh, it's just the unionists that want that, or it's the Tea Party that wants that. And that's all just causing factions and keeping us from being united with one another and realizing that really what we're standing up against is this power structure that is being forced upon us as a necessity to the way we govern our own lives. It's really ridiculous.
So I think the word revolution is very easy to throw around, just as easy as to throw around the word community. I mean, language itself, you know, it constantly fails us. But do you feel like the word revolution or the word community, you know, just sort of as a concept, is more of, you know, a way, it's like a consciousness than it is, you know, I mean, the action does follow, but it seems like the example that we're seeing is the gathering of the people and the activation that people know that they can make a change if they gather and they surrender certain ideas. I mean, it is sort of preemptive talking about the unity consciousness, which I'm totally getting waves with, and I'm really excited because it's beyond science, it's beyond philosophy. I fully understand that it's a real phenomenon, the energy that's coming in here. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I would totally agree. You know, Egypt is becoming a beacon, really just an example all over the world, and you're seeing all of these, you know, nations and the people uprising and going, wow, look at what happened in Egypt. Look at the individuals, because this wasn't these were individuals with families, with friends, with just like anywhere else in the world, and they united to stand up for a higher cause that was theirs and the collective, you know. And we're seeing this taking place all over the world. We're seeing this happen in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Recently there was a video of the police officers in Wisconsin standing up for the people. That, to me, is groundbreaking.
Yeah.
That really describes what's taking place on this planet right now.
Yeah, and I would, just going back to what you're saying about language, you know, we use this term revolution and, like, to revolt. I don't know. I guess I definitely have to agree with what Cliff High was saying in some of his work. It's almost like we need to invent a new word for it, you know, because it's not really a revolution, and it's not, you know, we use terms like protesting and all this stuff, and it has this connotation, it has this charge to it.
Oh, totally, because it's been so futile in the past. It's like, what, you know, people gather en masse, I remember, especially in the 90s, you know, we were all raging against the World Trade Organization, you know, all this going on, all these powers gathering. But then it was like, okay, protest, big party, let's all empower ourselves. And then it was kind of like, well, what happens in between the protests? You know?
What actually comes out of
it? What are we doing here? And that I think it was a building of energy, you know, and that there's a wave coming in. I don't think that any of that is futile. But again, it's the depiction of that through the media, our local friendly news agencies and the like. But it's cumulative. You know, there's a huge wave of energy that's coming from within people's hearts. Because whether it's conscious or subconscious, everyone knows that now's the time and that there's no minor person here for this big party, you know. And, I mean, you got to kind of keep laughing about it and not take yourself so seriously in the process of what's going on. I mean, you can be passionate, but still be joyful. And remember, you know what's going on. And I think that a lot of these guys that are trading power, you know, it's their time's almost up. So we should probably have a good laugh about that.
Yeah, it's like a big production, you know, going on. And when you really get down to it and you watch just independent videos, that's what I love. I love, like, the guerrilla journalism, you know, people who just have a video camera and decide to film, you know, and all of a sudden it's out on YouTube or something, and you're seeing this completely different side of the story. Mm-hmm. You're seeing people who are gathering and who are united for a very different cause than what the mass media is trying to tell us is going on. And I think we just have to continuously remember that and know we have this connection with human beings all across the world, you know. We always talk about, like, when we travel, that it's amazing, you know, everyone wants to talk about you as being an American and everything, but when you get down to it and you just start having conversations people to people,
there's no nationality.
Yeah, well, we were saying that earlier, that nationalism is, you know, the bane of a lot of things. But that just makes me think also about the internet activism that's been going on and using that media. I mean, the blackouts that are happening in other places, I mean, who knows how it's going to come over here to parts of the West. But that's been really facilitating it happening fast. And then when blackouts do happen, internet, to places that we've never been, I think that we've also got to trust ourselves to still connect to it.
Uh-huh.
And to still send support.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you don't have to hook your energies into it. But the internet blackout thing is going to get, I think, a little bit more and more interesting. I mean, I know the Obama administration is talking about Skype and how, because they can't really wiretap it, they're trying to force this faction, you know, to get into their box, and they're resisting it. And, because you guys are using that same media, and I don't
absolutely
know if it have its day or what, but that's where things are happening, you know, really quickly, and it's facilitated to travel so quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, the destruction of the internet would just be a catalyst to go outside and meet your neighbor, you know.
It's an
old trend that we've lost, the touch with, you know. And you do that when you go travel outside of your borders, your boxes. You realize that we're all just the same. We all want the same thing, and most of us are pretty down-to-earth, just chill people.
Yeah.
It's pretty shocking, because if you were to turn on the television, it does not appear that way.
Mm-hmm.
It does not. It appears like we are pretty dang crazy. But
totally.
Just,
well, that's all right with
people,
me.
We've all got our eccentricities, but, you know, we're pretty human when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just writing with my parents about this. You know, like, don't buy into the fear, like, that somebody's out to get you, like, lurking around every corner. You know, like, I really think what you just said, Mike, is totally true. Ultimately, regardless of where somebody lives in the world or what their, you know, political ideology is or their religious or spiritual views, most people just want to be able to live a happy, you know, healthy life with their friends and family, you know, have a roof over their head and have access to, you know, food and water and, you know, basic human rights and be respected.
Yet we act like that's so difficult to obtain, and we've created this huge fear paradigm around that. I know that that's a big thing that's, you know, motivating a lot of people to actually get behind GMO products and this concept of, you know, mass producing our food. Well, they play the fear card that we've got too many people on this planet and we don't know how to take care of ourselves, and so we've got to turn to science to help us. That's all it is science. And it's like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's a consciousness of manufactured lack, planned obsolescence, kind of, okay, you're done with it. And I mean, abundance itself, I think, is being, in another world, marked up to be something that is just totally unreachable, which keeps the hamster running. But really, I mean, abundance, again, is what we're all personally experiencing, is a level of consciousness that transcends all this stuff. And I'm really feeling that's happening.
Yeah, so I guess I would love to hear more of what you guys have to think about this unity consciousness, this unity energy that's already starting to move in.
Well, I think for a lot of people, it's kind of a concept that can seem pretty abstract. I guess I'm speaking from a place of personal experience. I'm a really sensitive individual. I have been my whole life. I'm very sensitive to energy, which is why I'm here. We're in the last few minutes of the show here, but it's worth researching Mayan time science and natural time cycles compared to the Gregorian calendar to start and to look at how the word calendar, calends, in Latin, actually means account book, and that's what that was created for. And to start to try to align yourself, you can work with both calendars to align with nature. But beyond that, it's a pretty big topic about what is unity consciousness, and that we're experiencing waves of it coming in here. where really it's a feeling of not being separate from anything or anyone. It's almost telepathic. Mm-hmm. It seems very crystalline and precious. And that, you know, some people are talking, you know, big words about other, you know, fifth dimension ideas, things like this. But I think that I've experienced some waves of energy that are coming in that are, that have been the catalyst for a huge movement of people and consciousness. And that it's a lot. I'm throwing around a lot of words here.
Well, here, let me, I'll just finish up and add to it by saying that, you know, whether you're even aware of what that word unity consciousness might mean, I think that it's going to have very tangible effects, and it is having tangible effects on people, you know, all over the world. And, you know, we're talking about the police, you know, joining the protests, you know, joining the people in Wisconsin. And we're, I think we're totally going to see more of that, the police and the military, you know, just throw up their hands in the air and say, you know what, this, like, I'm not going to follow these orders. Because basically people are being called to let go of that which is not serving them and to, you know, really live more authentic lives and be honest with themselves. And I think that that is just going to be a very not natural reaction to what we are talking about as waves of unity consciousness affecting humanity.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I've been studying where our planet is in our galaxy when I first started understanding the whole 2012 phenomenon and all these other symbols, is that we are entering a very highly charged part of our galaxy. And, I mean, go on the internet, research it. And this is what's bringing it up, because we are aligning with the center of our galaxy, and this is where this really amazing energy is coming in. I mean, the more clear you get, and I know you guys know this, your crown opens up, and you start to experience it directly. And that's what changes everything, because it's up to no one else but you. So when you can engage it directly, you know, it changes everything. So, you know, there's that part of the whole thing, is that it's a spatial thing. It's our galaxy. It's the rebirth of this planet.
So do you guys imagine then that this is going to be a unity that's going to not only affect you internally, but it's going to obviously ripple back outward and affect our ability to unite with one another?
Well, I think it's really sort of a rise to the occasion kind of thing. I think from what I've seen with a lot of world leaders and different people, is that when you're not rising to the occasion of the energy that's coming in, a lot of people are getting sick. A lot of people are starting to check out, and that it's time to rise to it. So,
absolutely.
Well, guys, oh, wait a minute. No, it looks like we still have a couple minutes left here, huh? We got like five?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, the digital. All right.
Are we good to go?
What planet am I on?
I mean, well, you know, what do you guys have to say about that? I mean, have you guys felt that this is something that you've tangibly been experiencing in your lives?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that really just makes me get excited about that.
We do have.
It is actually measurable. Like, scientists are observing this energy as it is coming into this planet, and it is measurable. And I think the big question mark from their perspective is, how is this really going to affect us? And on one level, I can certainly see how it's affected me as an individual and how I'm starting to become more and more comfortable with who I am and learn to communicate with my physical body in ways that are allowing for physical healing to occur, and that's really amazing. But on another note, I'm also starting to see this unity consciousness start to affect how relationships are being formed between people, and I think we're going to see a huge revolution and evolution in that in the coming time.
Awesome. Well, we got to wrap up. Just give you info here how people can contact you and maybe see the trailer. It's, what is it, the Mapmakers on Facebook, and what's your website, Amy?
Yeah, it's just www.themapmakers.org.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. And
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, big love, and big love to James.
Love.
Thank you so much.
All right. Night, guys.
Good night.
So thanks for listening to As You Wish, and James will be back next week. Have a great evening, everyone. Be well.